Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, therefore I take shelter of him. So I'll just read those two verses again. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. So I'll just ask, who is Advaita Acharya? An incarnation of Mahavishnu. And what is his main function? To create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Yeah. Okay. So then the second verse, because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, therefore I take shelter of him. So why do we call him Advaita? Yes. And why do we call him Acharya? Yes. So that's the main understanding that we should have in order to understand Advaita Acharya. That's the essence. Whenever we describe, if someone would ask us what is the significance of Advaita Acharya, we should try and explain those two verses and those, you know, four points. So Advaita Acharya Goshani Shakshat Ishvara Yanhara Mahima Nahi Jivera Gochara. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu Srishtikarina Jagadikarya Tandra Avatara Shakshat Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. Ye Purusha Srishti Siddhi Karina Mayaya Ananta Brahmananda Siddhi Karina Lilaya. That Purush creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. Ichaya ananta murti karina prakash eka eka ramurti karina brahmande pravesh. By his will he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Se purushera amsa advaita nahi kichu veda Sarira Visesha Tandra Nahika Vicheda. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purush and so is non-different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate but is another form of that Purush. Sahaya Karina Tandra Laya Pradhana Koti Brahmanda Karina Ichaya Niramanna. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purush, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Jagad Mangala Advaita Mangala Gunadam Mangala Charitra Sadda Mangala Yandranam. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious to the world, for he is a reservoir of all auspicious attributes. His characteristics, activities and name are always auspicious. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. So that's we see how if we teach children to understand what is good, and if a child can understand what is good and the benefits of what is good, they also become good. So in the same way, if we understand the auspiciousness of Advaita Acharya and the benefits from the auspicious activities of Advaita Acharya, we also become auspicious. Therefore, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Advaita Acharya, of course, his whole entire activities in his pastimes with manifesting the universes in the material world are dedicated to helping the living entities. So one who can understand the plan of the Lord Advaita Acharya, then he can also perform wonderful humanitarian service, for the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who cannot understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favoured by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient of material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself, for such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. So, that purport there by Srila Prabhupada, describing that there are many persons who actually refuse to understand the glories of Advaita Acharya. So it's an interesting way that Srila Prabhupada puts that. He's not saying that the activities of Advaita Acharya, that some people are unable due to their lack of intelligence or lack of brain substance, that somehow or another they're unable to understand Advaita Acharya. He's saying that actually whatever their state of being, whatever their state of intelligence or brain substance, they understand or don't understand by their acceptance or refusal of the information. As we heard in the very first verse, that the author offers respectful obeisances to Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful, and he says, by his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. So, Advaita Acharya, of course, if one wants to understand Advaita Acharya, then it is possible by the mercy of Advaita Acharya. If one does not understand Advaita Acharya, then that person is automatically considered to be a rascal. So it's very interesting, because the people can present themselves very wonderfully, very wonderfully dressed, and great scholars, and perfect ladies and gentlemen, and qualified in so many different ways. But the test is, if they have not understood Advaita Acharya in the course of their lifetime, then for all their show, they're still just a rascal. So we have our litmus test. So it's very important to understand, of course, that Advaita Acharya, certainly we can understand that he was an historical personality. Just as, if you read history, because Advaita Acharya, of course, appeared only 500 years ago. So it's not difficult to trace out his history, family, children. And because he is an historical personality, it's very easy for people then to consider him to be an ordinary person. But it's very important to understand that in no way is he an important, an ordinary person, as described here, because he actually helps in the pastimes of the Purush, Mahavishnu, in creating innumerable universes for the benefit of all the living entities. So, we can understand how is it possible that a person who is assisting in creating all the material universes, and who therefore existed before the material universes, how can such a person be an ordinary person? If you ask someone's occupation, and they tell you their what is your usual occupation? Yes, I create millions and millions of universes with Mahavishnu, because I am an expansion being non-different from Mahavishnu. If someone said that to you, would you take that person as an ordinary person? No, definitely not. So, all his activities, characteristics, name, everything is very wonderful and very auspicious. And if we understand, here also Srila Prabhupada points out that Advaita Acharya, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, he is an acharya or teacher. Now, and describing that all his activities were auspicious. describes that in the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. So, in this way, Advaita Acharya Prabhu teaches only pure devotional service to the Lord. So therefore, he is giving the best teachings, and anything which is not worthy of following, he has rejected. And those things are fruitive activities and impersonal liberation. Especially in this age of Kali. Sometimes in other ages, these step-by-step processes that help one, you know, progress towards the doorway or the threshold of devotional service, that they are acceptable. But especially in Kali Yuga, any other process such as Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga has very, very little potency, you know, in order to help the living entities. And really, in Kali Yuga, as shown by Advaita Acharya Prabhu, you really have to take to devotional service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes when a car, you know, breaks down, you don't see it as much these days, but we used to do it a lot, then, you know, you have to get out and push. So, you know, if you've got one or two people sort of pushing, you can't, sometimes you can't quite get up the speed in order to, you know, get the car going, because, you know, you you can only do it with a manual, but you've got your foot on the clutch, you get up a bit of speed, it's in first gear, and when you get up a certain bit of speed, you take your foot off the clutch, and the car, the engine turns over, and then off you go. But you've got to have a certain speed, otherwise you take the foot off the clutch and just chug a chug like that. So, but if you have, you know, a good pushing agent, then you have enough speed, and then when you take the foot off the clutch, the car automatically takes off again, like that. So Srila Prabhupada says that in the age of Kali, the process of karma and jnana are like that. They're insufficient pushing agents to get the living entity, give the living entity anywhere on the path of auspiciousness. But the process of bhakti, it gives such a powerful push that again the living entities get the momentum, and they can, you know, make rapid progress on the path of auspiciousness, devotional service. So Advaita Acharya teaches this, and therefore he is an ideal teacher. Koti amsa koti shakti koti avatara hitalanasi je purusha sakala samsara. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies and incarnations. Maya yache dvi amsa nimita upadanna maya nimita hitu upadanna pradhanna purusha ishvara ayache dvi marati haya vishva shiste kare nimita upadana lanna. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, nimitta, and the material cause, upadana, maya being the efficient cause, and pradana, the material cause, so Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. There's a little purport here. Anyone ever read that? About 6-7 pages there. Very technical. I won't take you through that today. That'll take up the rest of the class. So I'll read the next couple of verses and then we'll just explain the essence of that. Appana purusha visvera nimitta karanna advita rupe upadanna hananarayam. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient nimitta, cause of the material world. And Narayan, in the form of Sri Advaita, is the material cause, upadana. Nimittam se kare tenho mayate ikshanna upadana advaita karina brahmanda shidhyanna. Lord Vishnu, in his efficient aspect, glances over the material energy, and Sri Advaita, as the material cause, creates the material world.
Yadyapi sankhyamane pradhana karana jada hete kabu nahi jagatse janna.
Although the Sankhya philosophy accepts that the material ingredients are the cause, the creation of the world never arises from dead matter.
Nija srishti shakti prabhu sanchere pradhanna ishvarere sakche tabe hayata nirmanne.
The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then by the power of the Lord, creation takes place.
Advaita rupe kare shakti sancharana ata eva advaita hina mukya karana.
In the form of Advaita, he infuses the material ingredients with creative energy. Therefore, Advaita is the original cause of creation.
Advaita achare koti brahmandera karta ara eka eka moche brahmandera bharata.
Sri Advaita Acharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes, and by his expansions as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe.
So these verses describing that the material energy actually has two parts. It can be summarized in one sense that it is understood just in the way that a woman will give birth to a child, that there are two aspects to the creation of a child. Within the womb there is the function of creating the ingredients for the material body of the child, and then of course when those ingredients are all assembled, then from the womb the child takes birth. So we can say, you know, the womb is the cause of the child taking birth. From the womb, the child has appeared, in the same way from the material energy, the living entities have appeared. So in one sense, the material energy is like the womb. So from the womb of the material energy, the living entities, so many different, 8,400,000 different species of life take birth. But there is another feature of the material energy in that it creates the bodies also, and the ingredients for the bodies of the living entities. So there are those two aspects. You see, Dr. Mahatma listening with great intensity. He understands these principles. So in this way, neither of those functions can take place without the agency of the a living force. And those two functions are in fact carried out by Mahavishnu in his features as Mahavishnu and his expansion as Advaita Acharya. There is always a force. If we sometimes we see people may look at the material energy and think that things are moving without the force of a living entity. You know, so someone may look at the waves coming in the beach and think, well, you know, there is no superior force. But if you look behind the waves, you know, there is some force. There is the wind, and you know, different forces within the ocean pushing the waves like this. And then if you look behind the wind, there is some force which is pushing the wind, and if you look behind that, there's some force like this. So it appears that the waves are automatically coming in, but actually behind them is some force. And if you keep looking, you get to then what is the original force? That is the force of the living entity. In the same way that when you see them shunting the carriages of a train. So they're moving the carriages, you know, back to the railroad house, whatever they call it. And, you know, at the beginning there was the engine. So the engine pushes the first cart, and then that cart pushes the next one, and that cart pushes the next one, and you see, you know, so you wouldn't think that, you know, there's one engine pushing this cart, but there's no engine pushing all the other carts. How are they moving? But you know, there is. So literally, you know, that cart actually is being pushed by the previous cart, and then you get. So what is the original push? There's the engine, like that. So if you actually look at material nature, anything which has activity or movement, ultimately, although it appears that there may not be a living entity pushing, but ultimately that is the original cause, if one studies it very carefully. So, for both of those functions of material existence, for the living entities to be produced from the womb of the material energy in 8,400,000 different species of life, there has to be the force of the living force, and of course that very, very powerful living force is none other than the Lord in the form of Mahavishnu and his expansion, Advaita Acharya, Advaita Acharya being not different from Mahavishnu. So Advaita Acharya, as described here, that Vishnu is the efficient cause, and Advaita Acharya is the material cause. So Lord Vishnu glances over the material energy, and therefore the material energy ultimately gives birth to 8,400,000 different species of life. But within that process, Advaita Acharya is infusing the material elements, material ingredients with the creative energy so that they can combine to form the different bodies of the living entities. Any questions on that just before we move on? Okay.
Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva,
Chalashiva?
Sadashiva and Mahavishnu.
There is Sadashiva that let's not introduce another concept just yet. we'll work up to that. I don't want to confuse myself or others. So, that Advaita Acharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes, and by his expansions discovered outside Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. Sendrayanera mukya anga dvaita anga sadhyam sekarika he bhagavata. Sri Advaita is the principal limb, anga, of Narayan. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of limb, anga, as a plenary portion, amsa, of the Lord. So then they quote this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayanastvam nahi saravadehinam atmasyadi shakila loka shakshi narayano nagam narabu jalayanat tachchapi sacham nathaveva mahiya. A Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not therefore my father Narayan? Narayan refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from Nara, Gavadakshay Vishnu. And that Narayan is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental, they are absolute and are not creations of Maya. So that's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14. Ishvarera anga amsa chiranandamaya maya mayara sambandana hi is lupakaya. This verse describes that the limbs and plenary portions of the Lord are all spiritual. They have no relationship with the material energy. So therefore, we see Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami confirming from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from Shastra, that we should not consider the limbs and the plenary portions of the Lord to be something material. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary of the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge. And there, in the very beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, it describes that one should search out after the absolute truth. After establishing that the absolute truth is Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, in the Vedanta Sutra, the Srimad Bhagavatam then takes up the topic, so let us now hear about that personality of Godhead, who he describes in the very beginning as Lord Sri Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is in fact an expansion of the philosophy of presented by Advaita Acharya, which is the conclusion of the all Vedic literatures. So therefore, to quote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is giving the ultimate reference as to the nature of the personality of Godhead, is a very authorized quote. Amsana kahiya kine kaha tandra anga amsa heti anga yati haya antaranga. Why has Sri Advaita been called a limb and not a part? The reason is that limb implies greater intimacy. Maha Vishnura Amsa Advaita Gunadam Ishvare Abheda Tene Advaita Purananam. Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Maha Vishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he is identical in all respects with that Lord. So again, here we should understand that Advaita Acharya is his name Advaita, suggesting that he is the main limb of Mahavishnu, and he is identical with Mahavishnu in all respects. In essence, whatever qualities, spiritual qualifications are there within Mahavishnu, we can ascertain those qualities in full in Advaita Acharya. We should not consider him less, and therefore the name Advaita. So they use the word, he is referred to as a limb more so than a part.
Purveyaita kaila sarva visvara sujanna avatari kaila eva bhakti pravatanam.
As he had formerly created all the universes, now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti.
Jiva nistariya krishna bhakti karadanna gita bhagavati kaila bhakti devyakanna.
He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna bhakti. He explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service.
So you see how fortunate we are in this Krishna consciousness movement. That it, you know, they're not ordinary living entities who have chalked out this path of Krishna bhakti for us. But here we see, you know, our understanding of the auspicious path of bhakti is coming from such personalities as Advaita Acharya. There are, many persons who practically, throughout the entire world, people are following some sort of philosophy, and generally if you go to their homes you may see somewhere a little book or a little picture of who they are following, this Swami or this teacher or this philosopher or what have you, but it's very foolish that people would choose ordinary personalities to follow rather than accept the path chalked out by Advaita Acharya, who is non-different from Mahavishnu, who created all the material universes and who is completely in charge of all the activities of all the living entities in all the material universes. So he is in the best position to tell us what is the purpose of material creation, how we can live in material creation in the best way, and how we can get the best value from material creation. Just like if you purchase a vehicle or anything, say you purchase a sewing machine, perhaps you get a Husqvarna. So you want to know how to use a Husqvarna sewing machine, who do you go to? The manufacturers. You don't go to their opposition, or someone who doesn't even manufacture. Now what to speak of their opposition? What if you actually go to someone who doesn't even manufacture sewing machines, and you ask them, how do I utilize and get the best value out of this Husqvarna sewing machine? Even in a very ordinary sense, we can understand that if you want to really, understand and get the best value, you go to directly to the manufacturer. They created every little part with some, particular design for some particular purpose. If I want to know how to utilize this and get the maximum benefit and happiness, I'll go to them.
Why would I go to someone who hasn't even manufactured, who's not even in the sewing machine business? So here, Advaita Acharya, he's in the business of manufacturing material universes. Apart from Advaita Acharya and Mahavishnu, they have a monopoly. If you want to know about material existence and how to live in the material world and how to become liberated from the negative effects of material existence, you go to the manufacturers. There's Advaita Acharya. So that opportunity is there. Purport. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu for the welfare of the conditioned soul, he manifested himself as a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and throughout all his activities he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle. Although they also belong to the category of Vishnu, if Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within this material world, people would have become great impersonalists, monists and self-worshippers than they had already become under the spell of this age. Therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the parts of devotees to instruct the conditioned souls how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaita Acharya especially intended to teach the conditioned souls about Advaita Acharya. The word Acharya means teacher. The specific function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide Acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an Acharya to defy such impostors posing as God before the innocent public. So, that is our business. We follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada to defy all the impostors. And there are so many, in this age of Kali. Predominantly people are following demoniac persons. Very sinful persons. And people are so foolish. Anyone has just some little special qualification and they'll claim I am God, and thousands of people will flock, yes, you are God. And this, it's a fact. And we sit here and laugh. You see, people who are just like some of the very famous movie stars. There's one movement which the American government, and I think the Australian government, are trying to. It is considered a religion. It's actually registered as a religion, Scientology, and they get massive tax breaks. Because they're actually a registered religion, and yet if you look at the philosophy, they're basically following a madman. Any sane person can see that, and yet they have thousands and thousands of followers, and some of the so-called biggest and brightest and most talented and qualified people in this world follow such a mad person with total commitment. Very, very dangerous situation. If you follow someone who has you know, no real concept of reality, how much trouble you get yourself into. You know, even just asking simple instructions, I think it came from Prabhupada. I know when I used to do Sankirtan, there was a policy that, because we travelled all over Australia and New Zealand, and sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of somewhere and you had to get to such and such a street, and you had to, you know, didn't have road maps, you were just sort of out in the street with your paraphernalia, and you had to work out the best way to walk there or catch a bus or what have you. So, you know, you ask someone directions. But the policy was you always ask three different people. Oh, you know, where's Smith Street? Oh, you just go down here, turn your left, take the next on the right. You ask the next person, where's you know, Smith Street? Oh, you go this way. And you ask another person. And if you get two out of three, you know, you take those directions. See, even just, you know, because the symptom of people in this age, if you go up to someone and ask them, you know, about something, they won't say, oh, I have no idea. I don't know, you know. They'll you know, they make out immediately, oh, yes, I'm all-knowing, you know, I'm your friend, I can help you, you know. Well, they have no qualification, no information. They'll just volunteer mouthfuls of information about even the slightest thing. And if it comes to spiritual life, same thing. There's absolutely no information at all, and a head full of cow manure, and you know, people will ask them something and they will just volunteer so much information. And people are so foolish that they follow these blind people, the blind leading the blind. It's a very, very dangerous. So we have to defy. That is the nature of the acharya. You see, the Śrīla Prabhupāda and the previous acharyas, you know, they preach very strongly, and you know, according to one's spiritual potency and one's expertise, sometimes, you know, one may have to openly, you know, even in big assemblies or what have you, you know, quite strongly attack some bogus philosophy. Because, you know, as young devotees should be very careful not to just go, you know, angrily every time someone says something that's the wrong philosophy, you know, to just jump down their throat and what have you. One has to gradually learn all the arguments, the preaching techniques, you know, following very carefully in the footsteps of Śrīla Prabhupāda and the acharyas. And as one becomes expert and mature as a devotee, one may, you know, sometimes, you know, quite strongly and angrily, aggressively, you know, challenge the rascals and their followers. You have to be very careful. There's a saying that if you give good instruction to a snake, they'll bite you. You know, if you feed a snake-like person, if you feed a snake milk, it'll just become stronger and bite you. And if you give good instruction to a rascal, they'll just become angry. You know, you think, oh, you know, I'll give this person good instruction and they'll appreciate so much, you know, that I've helped them to, you know, I've pointed out their foolish ways and, you know, how they're doing things in a crazy way. And that they won't become, oh, you're such a wonderful, kind person doing welfare work. They'll think, you know, horrible person. They'll become angry. Even sometimes, so much so, you see sometimes devotees have friends and relatives they've known for many, many years. And just once, they'll volunteer some information about devotional service, and immediately the person will sever all relationships, become angry. I don't want nothing to do with this. Yeah. So, you know, one has to be very careful, but at the same time, one should dedicate one's life so that one can expertly do this. Because otherwise, this is the true welfare activities for the world. On one hand, we can allow the world to follow madmen. And they can all follow them into a ditch, and the world can all go to hell. Or on the other hand, we can actually, you know, defy that trend and teach people to follow the path chalked out by Advaita Acharya. And what is that path? Although he's God himself, he's saying the best path is to be a servant of God. And he is God himself, he's very, very carefully, you know, hiding, covering those qualifications as the Supreme Lord, knowing the nature of, you know, people in this age to immediately, you know, imitate. Yes, I am also God. You know, if someone, does something, just like, you know, we see, you know, there's one Elvis Presley. But because he had some influence, now there are millions of everyone's in Elvis Presley. You know, they have, all over the world, they have, festivals. Elvis Presley, thousands of, yes, I'm also Elvis Presley. I'm a better Elvis Presley. Everyone's in Elvis Presley. So if people, you know, and of course who is Elvis Presley? You know, he sang a few songs. He had a nice little wavy haircut. And you could wiggle his hips. You know, a lot of his life was very inauspicious. But still, because it was a little better than their life, they flock. Yes, I am also that. What to speak if someone is God? Everyone, yes. Ah, yes, I am also God. Like this, which is people are doing. So, Advaita Acharya, he very, very carefully. The same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, you know, their identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead was not advertised. It was very, very covered. It was only revealed to very, very confidential devotees. They didn't reveal themselves as being the all-powerful Supreme Lord, but they showed us by example, no, I am the servitor of God. But not only did they do this to set an example for others and to prevent others from imitating, but they also did this because there is a very, very special nectar in service, bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So actually, any devotee who has a taste for devotional service, they consider that service to be the all in all. They, there is nothing higher for a devotee of the Lord. There is nothing beyond, nothing superior to performing their devotional service with pure love to the Supreme Lord. That is the all in all. That rules everything. That is even more important than God. Of course, that is another confidential subject matter, which we can touch upon, but Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there is, even for God, there is a nectar, a special taste in always being absorbed in that pure love, loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. There's a rasa there, a taste that even the Supreme Lord relishes as the topmost taste. Better than being God is that mood of service to God. So the Supreme Lord, of course, is, you know, so inconceivably wonderful that he can taste both simultaneously. We are, of course, in this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and another very interesting phenomena is that Srila Prabhupada describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they are very, very powerful because they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he says their movement is even more powerful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is even more powerful than the Lord himself. And Prabhupada describes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered Jagai and Madai to very, very, very fallen souls. But after his disappearance, his movements delivered millions and millions of Jagais and Madais. So how powerful, you know, is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Srila Prabhupada describes that. So that movement is a movement of service to the Supreme Lord. So one who actually takes to that Sankirtan movement and becomes absorbed in serving the Supreme Personality of God in pure love, not trying to be God or imitate God, but serving God, one who takes shelter of the movement, that movement, to serve God, that movement is so powerful, even more powerful than the Lord himself. That is the mystery. So we can understand. No one should ever think, here is the Vedacharya, I never got to see him, he appeared 500 years ago, he's gone, I will never, you know, get any benefit. But actually, the movement, you know, left by Advaita Acharya Prabhu is more powerful than Advaita Acharya Prabhu. This is the nature of a spiritual, you know. Spiritual is always increasing, is never diminishing. So in this way, we're actually more fortunate. Very, very fortunate. This is the mercy of the Lord. Everyone becomes increasingly, increasingly more fortunate. The Lord's activities are all auspicious. Even the Lord, you know, he is, in one sense, may not be able to physically see his spiritual form. But still, we're still more fortunate. So these are some of the mysteries and principles of Advaita Acharya that we can meditate upon. So on this day we should always try and meditate, you know, how fortunate we are, and the very nature of this movement is that the good fortune increases moment by moment. That is actually, you know, because it's a spiritual movement. And, you know, we're sitting here now, we cannot imagine that just by taking shelter of this movement, you know, inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Advaita, that moment by moment our lives are becoming more and more auspicious. Therefore, in 2 years from now, we cannot possibly imagine how fortunate we will be. We can't conceive. In 5 years from now, we can't imagine. In 10 years, 20 years, we cannot conceive of how wonderful our lives are if we are under the shelter, because moment by moment our good fortune and auspiciousness is increasing. That is the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So I'll leave it there. Probably no time for questions or comments. Thank you very much.